we say good morning to Peter Allam. And Peter, very good morning. Welcome to the show on this Monday morning.
Yes, morning. Morning, Wayne. Morning, listeners. A little bit overcast. October rain, yeah?
Our spring rains are sort of, you know, coming through and dampening things down quite nicely.
Yeah, good for the gardens, brings out the weeds, but anyway. Yeah. Our text today is paternity disputes, a very interesting subject. And in fact, when we did our research here at the office, it came up with a stat, which is quite sickening, to say that it is estimated that 62% of children under the age of 18 are raised in a household with an absent father. That is huge. So it just shows, okay, it's my personal opinion, the value of having children these days, making mistakes and things like that. So we move to the subject, which is a paternity dispute. What is that? You know, despite the fact that the woman may be adamant, the only person I've had sex with is Joe Soap, the father is still entitled to deny responsibility in our law here in South Africa. And believe it or not, this is a very common occurrence in South Africa. A lot of time you find married men that have made other women pregnant, and of course they've got to deny it initially to try and get away with it, thinking that the person won't want to have tests done, paternity testing. Alternatively, you know, he's got a wife that's going to be the helling with him, and he tries his best to avoid it. But the good news there is that you can insist on the test, be it the male or be it the female. So the female doesn't have a choice to say, I'm not going to have tests. You are the father. You must pay.
Right.
The court will come to the assistance of the male that says, I want tests done. So that's where the paternity test comes in. You know, it happens all the time. Our courts are full of it where tests are done. So what testing is there that can be done, I suppose, is the next question. You know, the paternity testing can take the following forms in South Africa, which are accepted. One is blood tests. You know, all three parties go for blood tests. They're done at your local testing laboratories. HLA tissue typing that analyzes white blood cells can be done. And then, of course, there's also DNA testing that can also trace family genealogy. So, you know, there are three different methods, basically, that are used here in South Africa. And every province is capable of doing it. So there's no such thing as you can only have it done in Joburg or Cape Town. I've heard nonsense like that from people trying to put people off having done it, saying that the tests that are done in East London are not as good as the tests done in Johannesburg. I want Joburg tests. There's no such thing. The tests are tests and they're done. So, you know, you get a situation as well where it's not a case of, you know, only one party is tested. The parties must be together. The father must consent and the mother must also consent. And then they both have the right to refuse, but the court will invariably order or make an order if a male denies it. You know, I've had instances where the male has denied and refuses tests. In those instances, the court will come along and make an order against him until he proves that he's not the father. So it's not as simple as saying, oh, you know, I'm safe, I'm just going to deny it and see what happens. So, you know, don't refuse your test. It raises questions and tests your credibility. If you adopt that attitude, it suggests strongly that you are the father. That's the way the court looks at it. And the court will take his refusal into account and make a presumption that he is the biological father. So, you know, be careful when just disputing things. So the court will determine whether or not the person is liable to pay maintenance. They will base it on the tests that have been done or the evidence that is led and the manner in which the parties act at the court, where obviously one is going to claim maintenance. So the responsibility of the biological parents to support the child is there. It's a fixed thing. You cannot avoid that. So if you have made a mistake, depending on your affordability, maintenance will be payable, and the lady has the right to take the other party to court where there is a refusal to effect payment or a denial, as we are dealing with here opportunity dispute. The court will determine, as I mentioned, the paternity of the father of a child. It has to be proven on a balance of probabilities. That is the nice thing. So like you mentioned just now, if you just deny the father and refuse to go take tests, you know, that there is a situation that you putting problems on your own shoulders, because the court will adopt the attitude. He's only denying it because he is the father. Right. If he wasn't the father, he would have tests done freely. So, you know, it stipulates that if it is proved that the father of a child born out of wedlock has had sexual intercourse with the mother of that child at any time that the child could have been conceived, that person is, in the absence of reasonable doubt, presumed to be the biological father. Mm. You can't come along and say, I use safety measures, you know, I took precautions and all the rest of it. That's not good enough. So be careful. If you slept with somebody, you're going to be held responsible until you prove on a balance of probabilities that you are not the father. And what is the easy way? Paternity dispute tests. Mm. One of the three tests, easy enough. Yes, it's not the nicest of tests. I've done a number of them over the years. They take blood from both parties. They take blood from a little baby. In the earlier days, you know, babies had to be 6 months, and the tests were done with drawing blood through the neck, which was not a nice thing to see, but it's all done these days professionally and sorted. So once again, we go back to, can I refuse to submit to testing? Yes, you can, but you're only putting the burden back on your shoulders. Because, you know, the court must warn people that their refusal might have a huge impact on their credibility. We come then to the next aspect that's always fought over, is who must pay. So a maintenance offer may order that the parties take blood tests when they consent to it. And initially what you invariably find is that they will say, share the costs at this stage. So if the cost is 10 rand, each pays 5. Mm-hmm. If it's proven that he is the father, he must then pay back the other amount, which can be made an order of court. The decent thing to do, though, and I can say proudly that a number of my clients where we have disputed paternity have paid up front. Some we've won, some we've lost. But, you know, if you're going to have it, if you're going to claim that you're not the father, have the decency just to pay for those tests initially, and you can always sort that out afterwards. So, you know, the costs will come into the maintenance inquiry that eventually takes place if the parties don't settle it amongst themselves. So, you know, the court can make a provisional order that one of the parties must pay, and then it can be all sorted and taken into account at a later stage. So, you know, they can also make no order as to the costs initially, and then once the results are out, one can then ascertain if to do is responsible to pay for them. So, you know, where the person is not the biological father, the mother will have to pay for those tests. But if he is, then indeed the cost will be for his account, because he's the one that has denied it. So, you know, if you're uncertain about your rights or maintenance, don't be afraid to ask for testing to be done. It's the right thing to do.
Right.
The right thing to satisfy yourself that you are the father of the child. You know, so often I get people that come in to me to say, okay, I've been accused of being the father of a child. But if I look at the child looks nowhere near me. My parents say the same thing. I was not like that as a baby, got no looks of mine at all.
Mm.
Don't be conned by statements like that. Or otherwise, I often get people that come in here and say, you know, I shared my girlfriend with X, Y, and Z. She used to see him on the quiet as well. The child looks more like the other party than like me.
You know, it's
not good enough. You can't, based on that, get away with it. You know, so the paternity tests are there and able to be used to sort out exactly who the father is. So, you know, the reclaiming child support after a negative paternity test, often you come along and people have an order against them to pay maintenance, to pay for the birth of the child. And then afterwards, once the child starts growing up, finds out information that they may be not the father, you can then have the test done at that stage. You can do the test at any stage, no matter what age the child is. And yes, indeed, if you have been paying and you're not the father, you have a right to ask the court after a negative paternity test to order the repayment of the funds that you have paid in that regard.
Right.
So
right.
You can't reclaim child support that you have maybe paid. You know, one goes back to maintenance. What is maintenance? Maintenance is support, child support, an obligation to cover expenses for a child's essential needs, housing, food, clothing, education, the lay-in expenses, like we mentioned before, from birth until maintenance order is granted. Courts may also require one parent to add the child on as a dependent on a medical aid scheme.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the duty to maintain, the duty to support, ensures that dependents receive the necessary well-being that they require to grow up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it goes back to maintenance. Maintenance is serious. It's there. So, you know, we say think before you ink. I also say think before you use your winky or anything like that. Don't be silly.
Yeah.
You know, the duty to maintain is there. You're not going to get away with it. And then, of course, you know, I suppose the next question is, you know, what happens if I refuse to pay whilst the tests are being done? That often happens.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, the court can order back pay as well. So if you are found to be the father in time to come, you know, make sure that you are aware that you can indeed have a claim against you for the laying expenses, for maintenance for the 6 or 7 months that you repudiated paternity and that type of thing. So I always say to guys that come along to me and say, you know, I'm definitely not the father. I say, put away money.
Mm.
Work out more or less what your maintenance would be. Or if she's claiming, say, R5 per month, put R5 away just in case. Don't be that confident that you can never, that you can say it's definitely not mine. And it's amazing. It's normally always the parties that come to you that are adamant they are not the father of the child, that end up being the father.
Mm,
the others where, you know, the people come and they cooperate and they pay in the meantime and things like that, invariably those are the ones that prove that they are not the father at a later stage.
Yes, yes.
So, it's very important. And you know, the other aspect of it as well is that if you dispute paternity as a father, remember that if you are found to be the father, you've caused that animosity between yourself and the mother of the child. So you may have a situation where the child is 6 or 7 months old by the time that it's proven that you are the father and you will have lost that. Invariably, I recall way back when I first started, how many moms used to come in with their little darling boy and say, my son is definitely not the father of that child. I know that for a fact. My child would not do things like that and protect the child to the... And then all of a sudden they come along with a test and they, he is the father of the child.
Yeah.
You know, and that just has such a serious impact on the relationship from the beginning. So, you know, think before you do anything sexually and stupidly. You know, the possibility is there. And, you know, so often I also have people that say, but, you know, I went to the doctor. I can't have children anymore. I've tied my knot and that's it. Nothing is 100% bulletproof. It's been shown often that it can unknot itself and things like that. So, you know, you got to be careful. It's like we say again here now, don't be silly about it. Rather cooperate. My advice to people, you know, your behavior, payment of maintenance, and all the rest of it are all taken into account. And, you know, sadly, a lot of them come from one-night stands as well, which is very, very sad because, you know, the child is not made out of love or anything like that. It's a mistake, and you'll pay for that mistake for the rest of your life, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Or shall I say, until the child becomes self-supporting, if it does. And back to the stat right in the beginning, so sad to hear that it's estimated that 62% of all children born do not have a father in the home. I mean, I'm pretty sure that 30, 40 years ago, it was the other way around, where maybe only 10% of children born did not know who their father was or did not have a father in the home. Just shows how life has changed and the value of life has, you know, gone down in that regard.
And the socioeconomic circumstances that the country finds itself in a lot of the time is the cause of that.
Absolutely. So, you know, you've got to be very, very cautious. It makes no sense to keep yourself away from a child if you are possibly the child. So if you have made that mistake of sleeping with somebody and there's a child born out of wedlock, make sure that you keep contact with it just in case it's yours. That's my advice to people.
Yes.
And then, of course, you know, you can also say to people, pay in the meantime, because, you know, if the woman has been unjustifiably enriched, you're entitled to a claim. So if you've proven not to be the father, you know, legally, after a negative paternity test, the unjustified enrichment demands criteria to be met, and then, of course, the following can be proven in a claim. Enrichment is easy. The mother has been enriched by receiving money. But be careful there. You know, don't voluntarily pay the money and then all of a sudden get word, oh, I think I'm not the father.
Right.
Because when you've paid money out of your own choice, enrichment can be affected. So the payment must have been made in good faith, thinking that you're the child, believing that the mother's entitled to it. So the requirements for unjustified enrichment are, of course, that the enrichment has taken place, that the good faith was there when the payments were made. You know, the impoverishment comes into it, that the father was financially disadvantaged by having to pay money where he's not the person responsible. And it shows clearly that there's no legal obligation if you're not the father. Because you've got that criteria that shows that there's an absence of a legal obligation to effect payment. And then, of course, you know, the payment must have gone directly to the mother. You can't come along now and say, oh, I bought the child a motor car.
Yes.
You know, and I'm going to claim that back because I'm not his father. That's a gift. It's given. So the expenses must come directly to the plaintiff, come from the plaintiff to the defendant, who will be the mother. So, you know, don't go and spoil the child, clothe it, furnish it with cots and prams and toys and everything, and then come a year later and say, no, I'm not the father and want to claim
you want it all back.
You're not going to get that back. Because you've done that voluntarily and out of your own. You know, the mother hasn't asked for those type of things. So, you know, the false obligation is there. So we don't know, but you cannot claim everything. So there are many cases and continuously cases relating to that itself. You know, the importance of public policy and the child's best interests are taken into account. You know, you might also find where the court comes along and says, you know, you're going to harm the child now if you take away from it what it's got. You know, often you find instances where people are too scared to tell their wife that they've made somebody pregnant and they pay on the quiet. And then maybe we discover that they're not the father. You've got to be careful with doing things like that. You know, make sure that it's open. And, of course, honesty is the best policy. We know that. So, you know, if you made a mistake, don't hide it from your spouse, because it's going to come out. It's going to bite you in the butt. So, you know, that's where you are there. The unjustified enrichment is there. Don't rely on that way to get back at the end of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically what we have there, Wayne, on paternity disputes. A very interesting subject, and one that you need to be open and honest about.
And one also where the law and emotions kind of need to almost work hand in hand, because it's obviously a very emotional thing. You know, there's people's lives at stake, little babies' lives at stake, and then at the same time just kind of, you know, making sure that what's right is right. I mean, a very, very fine line. Because I can just imagine a scenario where man A knows, and he can prove it, that he's not the father of the child, but maybe for some other reason he's somehow been involved in that little one's life already, and then he sees where this thing can go if he kind of proves that he's not, because whoever is maybe wouldn't have been able to support. So I can just imagine the types of emotions that must be going around in scenarios like this. I mean, it can get very, very complicated.
Absolutely, and it's there. It's, you know, the other sad part about it is that, you know, we'll see by the stat 62%. How often don't we find where, you know, people break up shortly after they've had an affair, there's a baby involved, and then the mother meets somebody else, and a new father comes on the scene, and that father brings up that child as if it's, as if it's his own. The child only knows that particular second husband, well, not second husband, partner, who may become the husband because, you know, the wife has now found true love and married someone that's not the father. Such difficult circumstances as well. And then, you know, you get a lot of people that care. I mean, if I look at myself and if I'd made somebody pregnant, I certainly would have wanted to have been associated. I would have come out in the open, told my family, told my wife, told my kids what's happened.
Right.
You know, and I think that's the noble thing to do. But, of course, in this world, we live in denial. You know, people don't like to make mistakes and they deny mistakes, unfortunately, which causes major problems.
Yes, yes.
But, you know, you've got the scenario where a father wants to be with the child, made a mistake, not married the person, and then the wife prevents the child from seeing the father because she doesn't want three people in the life of the poor child.
Right.
So, you know, be careful. Be so careful. Make sure that when you're going to bring a little child into the world, that you understand what's taking place. And, you know, sadly these days as well, I've noted that there are a lot of ladies who do not want to marry but want children. Ladies that go out and get themselves pregnant, don't bother to find out who the father is or anything like that because they just want that child to themselves.
That's
something that's growing and growing around as well.
Another strange modern trend.
Strange modern trend.
Well,
that's it for today.
Lots of interesting points to ponder. And Peter, thank you very much for that very interesting topic. And just before we go, let's say somebody has some questions or they want to get in touch with Alam's attorneys. How do they go about it?
Yes, they can get us on Facebook by adding an S to our surname, A-L-L-A-M for Mary, S for Sugar, Alam's. And they'll find all the chats and everything there, details of how to get hold of us. We're situated at 6 Sansom Road in Berea. The little side street with Pep Stores is off Devereux Avenue. Telephone 043-7211-018. That they can get hold of us.
Great. Peter, thank you very, very much. Have a great week, and we'll chat again next week, Monday.
Super. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. Peter Adam there with today's chat, our Legal Eagle chat, very, very interesting paternity and all its ins and outs.